This is a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network, WDPN, bringing you the very best in internet talk radio.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hiya folks, you're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 78 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on August 10th, 2015, in Orlando, Florida, and Rogue Comics in Cranford, New Jersey, respectively. My name is Kevin Kessler, and I'm joined as always by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Hey Kevin, what's up?
Hey Pete, how are you doing?
What are you doing?
I'm just sitting here reading off show notes, trying to do the opening, get through it.
Ah, you don't have that memorized?
No. Whenever I try to do it without the thing in front of me, it's a horrible, horrible mistake.
Yeah, it all goes south.
Yeah. Folks, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day, and we want to share that magic with you. So, pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones. Let's experience the magic together. Pete!
Kevin.
What's going on?
What are you doing?
It's been a bit of a busy week down here. I went a week without getting into a park, which was like, I was going a little stir crazy.
I imagine that will happen, though, with living down there.
Yeah, I mean, like, sometimes real life does tend to get in the way.
Right.
But I did MK on Saturday by myself, and I woke up, and I was like, what fast passes are available today? And, like, excuse me, I'm hiccuping. Literally, every park had every attraction available.
Really?
The only thing... On a Saturday, the only things that were not available were Wishes, the Festival of Fantasy Parade, and, like, Illuminations in Fantasmic.
Hmm.
They go.
Like, you could just get Soarin'.
Oh, yeah. You can get Soarin'. Day of.
Interesting.
It was, so you can get Soarin', you can get Test Track, you can get... So I was like, all right, you know what? Space Mountain, Splash Mountain, Mine Train.
Boom.
And I went and I did it.
Mountain, mountain, mountain.
And I found, all by myself, found poutine. The Canadian delicacy poutine in the Magic Kingdom.
Really?
It's not called poutine, though. It's at the it's at the Golden Oak Trading Post. It's just called waffle fries with gravy and cheese. So, it's exactly what it is. It's waffle fries, brown gravy, and, like, cheese curds.
That doesn't sound as exciting as poutine.
No, not at all. But this is also the place where we reported a couple months back that they have the Figaro fries again.
Right.
Because they have the BLT fries. It's bacon, lettuce, and tomato, and, like, sour cream on fries.
Okay.
Really, really. But the poutine version was really good. I had it actually as a whole meal, like, and as it should be. If you're not using credits or anything like that, it's, like, $8.99 for these fries.
Right, right.
Yeah. So, but
it sounds like, yeah, it was like that and a drink will do you, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, I had planned for, like... You know, the Friar's Nook is next on my list because it's got pot roast mac and cheese and bacon cheeseburger mac and cheese.
Right.
And I was like, pot roast mac and cheese with a side of hot dog sounds like right up my alley right now. So the hot dogs are $8. I'm not getting a hot dog.
I'm just thinking about, like, you know, maybe like your body reaction afterwards might not be good.
I also had my first ever Disney churro.
Oh, I love the churros.
Yeah, I love the churro. So it was my number six on my snack gauntlet.
We did a bunch of churros in Disneyland because they're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
Like, you have no idea. Everywhere.
So yeah, I only have the funnel cake, the popcorn, the cronut, and I'm trying to remember what the last one was. What's in our snack gauntlet, Pete?
I don't know. I ate them all.
I did the turkey leg. I did the Dole Whip. I did the churro. I did the wild card. And the... What else did I do? Wow. I'm, like, completely blanking here. Oh, the premium Mickey bar.
That's why you need to do them in a week.
Yeah, this is true. I don't know. I've got some stuff left to do.
You should see if maybe one day you can do all 10 in one day.
I don't think that's possible.
Call it the bellyache.
Yes. However, there were a couple new concepts that arose recently in our Facebook discussion group, one of which Christina McSheffrey actually posed the idea of a Two Men and the Mouse like Disney scavenger hunt.
Okay.
And we were making like clues and stuff like that to like go and find like certain things, like you know, at one time he toured us through the stars, now he lies defective but still will say hello or something, you know, like stuff like that.
Right,
Captain
right.
Rex. We're currently trying to put that together. That should be pretty fun for our listeners. And for me. I did Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
I went all through Main Street, and, you know, me and a bunch of 10-year-olds were doing Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom. Let me tell you something. It's a little awkward as an adult to be doing Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom by yourself, because, like, if a kid comes and he's, like, waiting behind you, you feel really bad.
And it takes a little while.
It does. Like, you're working on these spells, so...
I get that.
Yeah. I felt bad for the poor lady in, like, the area where they give you the cards, because, like, you know, she has to give me the same spiel she gives a 5-year-old. Like, okay, Sorcerer Merlin's going to teach you how to do magic now. And I'm just like, oh, boy. But you know what? I kept saying to myself, it's in the name of research for the show.
Yeah. I get how that would be weird.
Yep. I've got the cards I got were Tinkerbell, Grumpy, Pongo, and Quasimodo.
Now, so, you get a pack every time you go, though, right?
I'm going to. Like, when I do Fantasyland, I'm going to go get a new pack. Like, it's different each time, right?
Well, I mean, it's like a pack of cards. I mean, you'll get doubles, right. You know? But, yeah, the cards are different. What you should do is don't go to the one at the fire station.
Oh, that's where I went.
There's usually a line. If you go behind...
There was no line that day.
Well, I'm saying sometimes, because everyone goes there for it. If you go behind Ye Olde Christmas Shop... There's a Sorcerer's Magic Kingdom desk back there.
Oh.
And they'll just give them to you right there.
Well, that's a nice little tip.
But bring your key card. Your key card's going to be your... Otherwise, they got to go through the spiel again. You're starting over.
Your key card?
Yeah, you got a card that has a key on it. And that's what you actually hold up to start it?
No, my magic band did it.
Oh, okay, then it'll be on your magic band.
Yeah, my magic band was what I held up to the little lock.
Oh, cool. All right.
So I guess that's changed since you guys have been there.
Yeah, I think they did that, but we had our key card from the year before.
Oh, so okay. It. And it still worked?
Yeah.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's one other thing that I wanted to get to, and now I don't remember what it was, so I guess it must not have been very important.
Did you watch Descendants this weekend?
Didn't we just talk about this?
Have you watched it since then?
Did we talk about that on the air, or was that off the air?
I think that might have been before.
Okay.
I was trying to get you, implore you to watch this.
Right. Oh, it was. Okay. I remember now. Yeah. No, I didn't.
You should, especially if you're going to be doing things like a 10-year-old, you should totally watch Descendants.
Right. Oh, Lord.
It really was good, by the way.
I did pop into Cosmic Rays just to see Sunny Eclipse the other day.
Did you get something to eat or did
no.
you just sit down?
I literally just popped in to take a quick video and listen for a little bit and then left.
Oh, that's great. Do you go up to the cast members and ask them questions like, oh, is this sold out? Like, it gets a real concert?
I have. I'm also doing a new series of, like, videos throughout the parks. It's
okay.
Kermit Goes to Walt Disney World.
All right.
So, which I have the Kermit puppet, and I just kind of videotape his adventures throughout Walt Disney World.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
I actually had him in the Haunted Mansion stretching room, like, listening to the ghost host and, like, freaking out.
Oh, that's so funny.
And then, like, the lights went out, and you just hear Kermit scream, and then they came back on, and the camera's pointed at me, and Kermit is literally, like, on my face, like, shaking. And I'm just like, I hope you feel proud of yourself. So I'm hoping to do a whole series of these Kermit videos.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so ready to dive into the show proper? That was wasted
Let's
enough time
it.
And vamped for a little bit. Okay, so a couple of mousekeeping things before we get started, folks. If you are an online shopper who's looking to do any shopping on Amazon.com, please first head over to WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com. Click the Amazon link at the top of the page. Takes you to the same Amazon page you've always gone to. Only the White Dragon Podcast Network gets a small percentage back of what you purchase. It's a great free way to help out your favorite podcast network. It's stuff you were going to buy anyway, you know. Already going on. So also, if you want to help the network out in a more direct manner, you can go to whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com/sponsor, where you can make a small monetary donation to the upkeep of the network. No matter how small, it's always appreciated. Folks, people often ask me where the listener feedback that I read all the time comes from on the show. It comes from our Facebook discussion group, which is facebook.com/groups/2menin the mouse. So facebook.com/groups/2menin the mouse. Please come, you know, join in the discussion. It's like a big family atmosphere there. And usually when we have like when we have an e-ticket that's going to be very like discussion driven, I will pose it to you probably like 24 hours in advance, and you know everybody comments there, and that's pretty much where I get all of our listener feedback that I read aloud on the air. And also, we'd love to hear from you guys if you give our voicemail line a call at 804-537-2MEN, 804-537-2MEN. Okay, time for the news brought to you this week by Dave Weikert of Magical Travel. Dave Weikert, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. Ready for some worldwide news?
I sure am.
Okay, Havaianas, the Brazilian flip-flop company, is going to be opening stores throughout Disney theme parks, so both Walt Disney World and Disneyland Resort.
You know, that makes total sense, doesn't it?
Flip-flop stores?
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of how many times I've seen this. I've gone with people who've done this, mm-hmm. who did not bring, no matter what their, you know, family member told them, the proper shoes.
Right.
And you're like, I really would like a pair of flip-flops. Now, I guarantee, you know, Old Navy, you get flip-flops for $2.
Right.
These flip-flops aren't going to be $2. No. But still,
probably
it makes
sense. Probably
minimum
$15, but...
Right. But, I mean, you know, there's a footwear option there.
Yeah. The only way I could hate this anymore is if the store also sold ponchos. But, you know...
Well, you don't like flip-flops?
No, I don't like people wearing flip-flops. They're lazy.
Yeah, I'm not big into flip-flops either, but I'm just saying it's an option.
Nobody wants to see that. Cover them up. If you need something that breathes, get a pair of Crocs, like I have.
See, I don't like the Crocs.
Yeah, no, I love the Crocs. The Crocs have changed the way I traverse the parks because they're so comfortable and provide so much support, and it doesn't matter if it rains, that it's just, they're wonderful. I love them.
Do you have the little, like, Mickey on your Crocs?
I do indeed.
But I mean, like, the little pin things that you put in
No, 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 I don't have those. Like, but the holes in the Crocs are hidden Mickeys.
Right. Not so hidden.
No, not so hidden. They're kind of in your face. Okay, so moving along. Speaking of ponchos, by the way, you're going to be proud of me because I stick to my guns and I stick to my laurels. When I was in Epcot yesterday, so sunny the entire day. I leave to go to Epcot around 6 o'clock p.m. The skies open up the second I cross into Disney property and the downpour begins. And it is downpouring, Peter Mandel. And you know, everybody I was with was like, you know, you just get a poncho. I'm like, nope. Didn't do it. I had an umbrella. But
I don't understand the poncho hate.
No, not going to do it. I'm not going to look silly.
I don't think they look silly.
I think they look really silly.
You think that ponchos look silly and Crocs don't? All right. Okay.
I don't need to be looking like that. I don't. It's not typically what I do.
That's not the style that Kevin Kessler wants to give off.
No, not at all.
I get that.
Okay, so moving along, Disney is selling new homes in the Golden Oak area just minutes away from the Magic Kingdom. How much do you think one of these homes would cost you, Peter Mandel?
$1.6.
$5 million.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They range from 6,000 square feet to 10,000 square feet, and they're on the Golden Oak property, so you get access to all the Golden Oak amenities.
Cool.
Now, here's a bit of interesting news for you, because this is something that's going to directly affect you in the way you do things. You know, like, the constant thing is, like, park-specific merchandise just came out. But, like, oh, no, I'm not in the park, and I won't be in the park for a long time, and it's limited edition stuff. Well, Disney has an answer to that. Disney has kind of reinvented the wheel with a new mobile app that will make finding, buying, and shipping merchandise from the Walt Disney World theme parks easier and faster than ever. I'm just going to read this off. It says, this new app will offer nearly the full range of merchandise available in the parks and should once and for all resolve that problem of I wish I had bought it when I was there. Called Shop Disney Parks, the app will allow guests to locate, order, and ship merchandise from any Disney-operated retail store at Walt Disney World. If you're shopping at home within the U.S., the app will let you browse, buy, and then ship the items directly. If you're already in the parks, the app will have the capability to browse, buy, and then ship from the front of the park or for resort guests directly to the hotel. Inside the stores, guests will be able to scan the merchandise for more information about the product. By linking in with the My Disney Experience, the app will also honor discounts such as Annual Pass and Disney Vacation Club. The app will also be launching soon and will be available for iOS devices such as iPhone, iPad, and Android devices. How does that affect you?
I mean, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
I like it because I feel like it'll give me some options.
Right. Like,
I don't go bananas on merchandise. That, you know, part of it to me is that it's we bought it when we were there.
Yeah, like you walked through Mouse Gear and bought the photo album.
Right. I mean, I'll say there's one or two things that come out a year that I'm like, oh, I'm going to get that. So that's nice because then I can just kind of pick them up. But
right, without having to get me to go get them.
Right. Although I'd probably still ask you just to go get them. But,
yeah, probably. I was about to say, I feel like I'm gonna suddenly become useful to all my friends, useless to all my friends back in Jersey.
Why?
Because now, like, they don't need me to get the merchandise for them.
See, but that's where I will still ask you to get everything
right
for
because
them.
You're old school like that, and I appreciate yep. it.
And then I'll complain about it. Like, really? Did you notice this thread right here? And you'll be like, "Rrr."
Yes, that's exactly what's going to happen. In resort news, Disney Research over in Zurich created a robot from scratch that can design sand art on beaches.
I saw this video.
Called Beachbot. This robot drew a rather poor portrait of Walt Disney on the beach of
cool.
the contemporary resort. I don't know. I thought his face looked a little too chubby.
Oh, I mean, it was better than anything I could do.
I don't know. I wasn't impressed. I feel like artificial intelligence should be able to accomplish more than this.
You're saying they should send Beachbot to Philadelphia?
No, don't send Beachbot to Philadelphia. For all that's holy, don't do that. Poor Hitchbot. That's a subject for another podcast on another day. But yeah, so Beachbot, folks, give it a try, I guess. You know, check it out online. If you Google like robot draws portrait of Walt Disney on beach, you'll find it.
I think it was on. I think it was on Parks Blog. Had it the Disney Parks Blog.
Yeah, but if you're ever like, what would Walt Disney look like if he wasn't watching his carbs? Like this is what it would be because his face was like really chubby.
I thought it was good.
I'm just saying, you know, like I figured the bot should have done a little bit better. I hold robots to very high standards.
Right, I get that.
You know, so. Okay, so the Flying Fish Cafe is going to be closing for a major refurbishment coming soon. We'll be closing February 1st through November through and to November. So
okay.
I know it doesn't affect you in any way.
Nope.
There's going to be revisions coming to the dining room and the kitchen, but the theming is believed to be remaining unchanged. So there you go. No water park news, but we do have some Magic Kingdom news. Some popular holiday entertainment from last year will be making a return to Walt Disney World this holiday season. The Frozen Holiday Wish, in which Elsa froze the castle at the end of the night, is definitely coming back. Which, I mean, we all got to figure
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I can't imagine that leaving for a while. That thing's yeah. pretty cool.
And our personal favorite, the Jingle Cruise, makes a return.
Oh, I love the Jingle Cruise.
I can't wait to experience the Jingle Cruise.
It's so, I mean, listen, I don't want to build up the hype and then have you be disappointed, but
right. It's
fun. I can't imagine you not liking it.
No, I definitely will. I mean, I've recently discovered the Nighttime Jungle Cruise, which is like my favorite thing in the world. Like the first time I went on the Nighttime Jungle Cruise, we didn't really have a great skipper.
Okay.
Like, he was just kind of like speeding through the whole thing. You could tell, like, he actually asked when we got on the boat. He was like, "Do you guys like?" It was just a bunch of adults. He goes, "Do you guys want me to do like the whole thing?" And I'm like, "Yes. Why else am I on the Jungle Cruise?
Right.
I'm not here to look at the animatronic rhinoceros. I want you to do the thing.
Right. It's pitch black out. We can't see it.
Right. So he kind of like sped through it. It wasn't really that good. But the second time I did it, Peter Mandel, I literally had the greatest skipper I've ever had in my entire life. Like, he was on fire. Like, it was hysterical.
So you're saying he was better than your cousin, who was the skipper?
I never experienced my cousin as a skipper. Otherwise, obviously, Skipper Crispy would be my number one. Because I'm sure he was. But, yeah. His girlfriend was also a skipper on the Jungle Cruise, so I'm sure she was wonderful as well. This guy was top-notch, though. Okay, in Epcot news, so this is a bit of a rough week for you, my friend. I broke this news to you before the show just because I didn't want an on-air breakdown. It's been reported by the Disney Hipster blog, not yet officially confirmed by Disney, that October 3rd will be the final day for our friend Duffy the Disney Bear as a character meet-and-greet experience in Epcot. So, citing the fact that I guess it had lost popularity over the years, not a lot of people were stopping to wait for Duffy. Typically, on average, when you would stop for Duffy, how long would you be waiting?
I'm going to say 10 minutes.
Okay. For a character experience, that's really not that long.
Yeah.
So, I mean, thoughts and opinions on this, Pete?
Not happy.
No. Oh, okay.
I mean, not devastated. Jeez, there's so much to do in Disney World. I'll be all right. But, you know, I like Duffy.
See, I figured you would have known because when it came up on the discussion group, your sister-in-law was one of the people that commented on it. So I was like, there's no way Pete doesn't know about this by the time.
Oh, like, you think that she would tell me? There's no way she would risk that.
She wanted to wait and have me. Like, literally, I think Christina McSheffrey posted it, and she was like, well, how are we going to tell Pete?
Yeah, no, my sister-in-law probably was like, I'm going to let someone else do this.
Yeah, I could imagine. October 3rd, folks. I have never gotten the Duffy meet and greet experience, so I'm going to have to get over there before October 3rd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Nothing was said about the merchandise, because the merchandise is still a big seller.
Right.
They have Duffys everywhere. It's not like not even just like the Duffy store where you can buy Duffys now. Like, Duffys are everywhere in Walt Disney World now. All four parks. So. Okay, moving along.
You know, really, they should bring Shelly May over.
Who's Shelly May?
Shelly May is like Duffy's girlfriend.
Oh, really? What is she?
Yep.
She also a bear?
She's also a bear. Very big in Japan.
Ah.
I don't know why they don't, you know. Come on.
So
can't we afford to bring her over?
Yeah. Epcot is also reportedly testing a new opening procedure. It is going to be where all the park usually opens at 9 a.m., but now they're saying 30 minutes before park opening, all of the central Future World locations by the Fountain of Nations will open. So we're talking Character Spot, Interventions, you know, all that stuff, right? Club Cool, everything like in that general area. So you can come in and kind of meander in the center. Spaceship Earth would then open at 8:45 for guests, and then everything else in Future World would open at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
I guess it's so that you don't have a mad dash all at once. People can kind of filter in to the park for that first half hour and then just kind of wait for things to be open.
I mean, as someone who, you know, uses FastPass, that probably, you know, in theory could help you out a little bit.
Definitely. And also, I think it's also ingenious because what are most people going to do when they get into that Future World area? They're going to go right into Mouse Gear and shop.
That's what I would do.
Yep. Okay, so in DAC news, Disney's Animal Kingdom, Primeval Whirl will be closing for a refurbishment on August 17th, reopening to guests on November 13th. So a pretty lengthy refurbishment for Primeval Whirl.
I wonder what they're going to do.
Skin it.
I mean, what else could they do?
Yeah, right. In Hollywood Studios news, advanced dining reservations are now available for Minnie's Holiday Dine at Hollywood and Vine. So,
and this is?
Okay, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you right now. Minnie's Holiday Dine at Hollywood and Vine. From November 7th, 2015 to January 3rd, 2016, Hollywood and Vine could be the happiest place for mirth. That's an interesting little pun. I like that. Celebrate the season with a gloriously festive dining experience and a rare chance to see Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Daisy, and Goofy all together in all new holiday finery, making merry with you and your guests. That's a pretty substantial character meal.
Yeah, that's a real crew there.
Like, I was thinking Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Goofy, Pluto, but to have Daisy in there, that's pretty big.
Yeah, I like that.
And plus, dressed in holiday sweaters and whatnot, that's got to be awesome. I'm assuming like Mickey and Minnie will have their holiday sweaters on. Goofy will be Santa, and maybe Donald will be a reindeer or something. But
that'd be cool.
Get hugs and photos with your happy hosts and wonder as you wander through the dazzling decor, heartwarming music, and holiday-themed food and activities, followed afterwards by special VIP seating for the popular Fantasmic Nighttime Spectacular. So with the Fantasmic package, it's going to run you $52.99 per adult and $31.99 per child ages 3 to 9 plus tax and gratuity. Without Fantasmic, it's $46.99 for adults and $27.99 for kids or one dining credit. Okay. No word on if it was two dining credits with Fantasmic. I'm not sure if the article I read just left that out. I would assume it would be two dining credits with Fantasmic, but there's a chance that it's just not offered on the dining plan for that. I can't see that though. And that's the news this week.
So well, that was all pretty much downers for me. That Duffy ruined the whole thing.
I know. Are you going to be able to compose yourself for the e-ticket?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, folks. We are going to take a very brief commercial break, hear from our wonderful sponsors, and then we will be right back with our e-ticket attraction of the week. So stay tuned, folks. More Two Men in the Mouse coming at you right after this. You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier and makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. That sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
You give them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weikert autograph books.
Of course.
Well, Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weikert.
Depends how his name on it.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer. Folks, take the stress out of your life. Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse.
Hey guys, this is Corinne Chandler from Mousellaneous Discussions, the Disney television and movie talk show here on the White Dragon Podcast Network, reminding you that every Monday is Mousellaneous Monday on WDPN. Kate Smith, Kevin Kessler, and I pick a different Disney topic to discuss each week, ranging from top five lists to movie reviews to major announcements coming out of the Walt Disney Company. Then we close the show out with Kate's Disney Recipe of the Week, where she'll teach you how to make a variety of dishes only found in Walt Disney World, and I pose a trivia question to you all, meant to test your knowledge of all things Disney. So please tune in every Monday morning on iTunes, Stitcher, and WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com for a new and magical episode.
Nobody cares, Corinne.
Shut up, Kevin. I'm plugging your network.
Oh. Okay, keep going. I like your announcer voice.
Thank you. Mousellaneous Discussions on WDPN. Come join us and let's get magical.
Folks, we here at WDPN love Disney, and that should come as no surprise to anyone. But we never lose sight of the fact that the entire Disney universe sprung forth from the mind of one man. Walter Elias Disney and his tireless quest to create magic has inspired all of us for decades upon decades. But there's so much we can learn from a man like Walt Disney, who so embodies the ideas of chasing your dreams and daring to believe. And perhaps Walt's greatest accomplishment and journey was the creation of his ultimate dream, Disneyland. But how can you apply the shining examples this man set on his way to creating a landmark that has stood for six decades to your own life? You can find out in The Wisdom of Walt, Leadership Lessons from the Happiest Place on Earth, a new book written by college professor Jeffrey Barnes. Jeff examines the incredible journey Walt undertook to create Disneyland and the lessons he garnered from years of hard work and American ingenuity. He encapsulates it perfectly and then shows you how to apply this to your own daily life. Furthermore, he examines what the park means to the Disney universe, the United States, and the entire world, showcasing what can happen when a dream truly becomes immortal and outlives the man who created it. What better way to celebrate the 60th anniversary of Disneyland than by reliving the adventurous, real-life endeavor of a man who dared to dream the impossible and brought so much joy into our lives as a result, and then apply his journey to your own life in the end? To pick up your autographed copy of The Wisdom of Walt, visit thewisdomofwalt.com or download the ebook copy from the Amazon Kindle store and start applying the wisdom of Walt to your life today.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, with immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
Hey WDPN listeners, this is Allie Eibler from the Geek Watchtower. And as you know, we live in the golden age of geek culture. With all the movies, television shows, comic books, video games encompassing the world of geekdom, it can be a real chore to keep up with all of it. Well, here on the White Dragon Podcast Network, we have a little something called the Geek Watchtower. Kevin Kessler, Chris Doherty, and I run down the latest geek news items every Friday morning for you, before we focus on a fandom feature topic of the week. We're talking about everything from Batman to the Avengers, anime, Doctor Who, Disney, Nintendo, and so much more. So make sure you join Kevin, Chris, and I every Friday morning in the Geek Watchtower, where we monitor all the things that geeks watch. Find it on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and of course at WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com.
Hi there, my name is Demetri Ravanis. My sister Anne and I are hosting a new show here on the White Dragon Podcast Network called The Extra Magic Hour. It debuts on Thursday, and as the name would imply, it's a show all about the Disney parks. But it's not an advice show or a news show. I mean, that stuff is in there, but it's so much more. Alright, actually, it's not that much more. It's news, advice, and then it's just my sister and I arguing. We'll tell you what we love about the Disney parks and what we hate about them, too. It's fun. I mean, that's the goal. We hope it's fun. It's fun for us. Let's say that. That's where we'll settle. The Extra Magic Hour debuts Thursday with new episodes every week here on the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Hey, folks. Kevin Kessler from the White Dragon Podcast Network here. One of the questions I get asked all the time is, Kevin, I want to have a podcast, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know anything about audio equipment. I don't know anything about editing. I don't know anything about how to post and promote a podcast. Well, folks, you are in luck, because what if I told you there is a way you can have your podcast with minimal effort from you and still be a part of the White Dragon Podcast Network, joining the family of 9 all-star podcasts that are already broadcasting 7 days a week here on WDPN. For a free consultation, please send an email to kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com, and I will tell you personally how we can take care of everything from the production to the editing to the posting to the server space to promotion of your podcast. I want to welcome you into the White Dragon Podcast Network family, so please drop me a line, kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com. I look forward to welcoming you into the White Dragon Podcast Network. Don't you dare touch that skip button, folks, because it is time for our e-ticket attraction of the week. Folks, when one of us goes to Walt Disney World, it's always a big experience. I mean, before I lived there back, you know, Pete and I would always talk about upcoming trips and whatnot. And one of the biggest questions that comes up before a Disney trip is, what are my advanced dining reservations going to be? And I think that the ADRs really kind of set the pace and tone for your trip. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, I think it's one of the most fun things you can do.
Yeah. So that is why, now with me living down here, the opportunities for me to make these kind of ADRs are not really existent anymore. But luckily we still have our good friend Peter Mandel, who frequents Walt Disney World on a fairly consistent basis. And most recently for Pete's upcoming trip, which we're going to discuss in a moment, the 180-day mark just passed, and Pete made his ADRs. So that is why this week on Two Men and the Mouse, we are talking about Pete's advanced dining reservations for his 2016 Disney trip.
Now, this is good, because you and I haven't talked about this at all.
No, not on the air at all. And like, I also don't know what your ADRs were. Like, I purposely didn't ask.
So I need your input on this entire trip, basically. Just okay. Give me, you know, how you feel about it overall.
Yes. So take us through, first of all, I mean, when are you going?
We are going to go end of January, beginning of February.
Perfect time, because there'll be nobody there.
That's actually what I'm hoping, you know. So, and I haven't gone that time of year in a long time. So, yeah, I think it'll be good.
But you know who will be there? Me.
Not Duffy.
Not Duffy, but me. But so we can finally take that Two Men and the Mouse picture in front of Cinderella Castle.
And maybe if you dress up like Duffy, we can.
I may do that for you. I'll just buy. I'll see if I can buy the costume as they get rid of it.
Oh, that's great.
Okay, so now this is going to be a big trip for you guys, right? Like a lot of people going.
Yeah, I mean, not a ton of people. It's going to be the core four, and then my brother and Heather's sister are going.
The Fab Four.
Yeah, so we got a little add-on, you know.
Right, that's great.
It's going to be a good time doing a little beach club action. That's my fear, honestly, is that, you know, going to the beach club, the pool is such a big part of it, but it's going to be like January.
Yeah, but also, I mean, like the beach club pool is kind of in disarray right now.
Yeah, but we got 6 months.
Construction walls and whatnot. I don't know when they're supposed to, when it's supposed to be done. I'm sure we talked about it on the show, but I don't really know. Yeah, the last when I was racing the friendship boat, I passed by that, and there were just construction walls everywhere.
Well, I need you to keep a watchful eye on that.
I will do so. I will check out the beach club once in a while, just, you know, awaken, you know, like a vanguard to check it out.
Exactly.
Okay, so beach club. Return to the promised land of the beach club.
Yeah, we do love the beach club.
I know you do. So you're doing like the DVC like family suites or?
Yeah, we're doing a 2-bedroom villa.
Okay, that's cool.
I mean, that's the way to go when we go there.
Now, I assume that your kids don't know this is happening yet, right?
No. They are going to. So they will not be listening to this.
Right.
No, I'm devising a way to inform them. But that won't happen until much later.
Okay. So, obviously, Epcot day one.
Yeah, it's got to be Epcot day one. Just this way, there's no real travel.
Right. And plus, you know, you can just walk over there from Beach Club. So it's going to be nice.
Right, which is cool because when they tell you your room's ready, you can just go right over.
Right. And typically when you arrive, is the room not ready?
Not at Beach Club. I mean, 2-bedroom villas, they're not. There's not a lot of them.
Right.
So, no, typically it's not ready. And okay. I mean, I'm flying out of Newark, you know, first thing in the morning. So by the time we're actually at that check-in, it's probably 10 a.m. So it's definitely not ready by then, no matter what. I mean, the people don't check out yet. So
yeah, typically when I would arrive to like Polynesian or Caribbean Beach, the room would be ready, but it was not a 2-bedroom villa. So there you go.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. Same thing with us when we go to Caribbean Beach. It's usually ready. But, you know, the difference is that, you know, the rooms are all fairly the same. And in this case, there's not a ton of them. So
okay. Makes sense. All right. So 180 days was when?
Great question. Last Monday.
Okay. So you sat down 6 a.m.
Yep.
Take me on a culinary journey right now, Peter Mandel. We don't need to ask what your day one was because we know it's the Garden Grill.
Listen, I pretty much nailed it. I got everything I wanted.
Anything new or is it all previously?
You know, it's funny you say that. That's the thing that's bumming me out a little bit. It's really nothing new.
It's kind of like the greatest hits.
Yeah, but you know, at the same time, like, I'll give you an example. Like, my wife was like, I'm kind of done with Ohana. We've done it like 4 trips in a row or something.
Right. What about that Ohana breakfast, though?
Right. But she's like, I don't want to do it for dinner. But same time, like, my brother's going, and I totally want to do Ohana with him. He'll kill that meal. So I'm like, I think I want to make this exception for him. And she's cool. That she doesn't care. But, you know, in turn, I end up doing a lot of things that we've done already. So, you know.
Okay. But so, obviously, day one, Garden Grill dinner.
I imagine we're going to end up at a counter service lunch at the Electric Umbrella. I haven't written this into the itinerary, but I'm fairly certain that's what it's going to be.
Well, yeah, because Ethan would stand for nothing less.
Right. And then dinner will be, of course,
Garden Grill.
A 535 Garden Grill reservation.
Okay. All right.
Very excited.
All right. So pretty standard Mandel family fare for the first day.
Good thing. I'm glad I got a 5:30 because honestly, with the kids getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning that day, you can never really plan on doing too much late that night.
So you're not catching illuminations that night then?
No, we probably will actually. But that's the joy of it is like, you know, if Abby's like, hey, I'm really too tired, then she can go back to the room with, you know, me or Heather or somebody. Right. Like, you know, that's kind of the joy of being that close. It's not a big deal. You know what? We can finish dinner, go back to the room, and then go back for half an hour and watch illuminations if we want to. So, I mean, that's, you know, I'm not really planning on doing too much that night, especially because we have an early morning the next day.
Okay. All right. So next day, early morning, what's going on?
Well, we're going to Magic Kingdom.
Of course.
It's hard to put Magic Kingdom off, you know, too far into your trip. It just would be weird, you know.
Can that be our guest breakfast?
We are not.
Okay.
My wife.
Not, you don't want to spend $21.99 for a standard fare biscuits and eggs breakfast?
That's not really my thing. But Heather's one lone staple of every trip is Crystal Palace.
Crystal Palace breakfast.
So yep. We're hitting Crystal Palace early this trip. It'll be that second day, our first full day, actually.
Okay.
Nice 8 a.m., the 8:00. I was pretty happy about that.
Very nice. So you get to be walking down the middle of the Main Street, yep. USA by yourself.
Always makes for some nice pictures and video.
Very
and,
much so.
You know, it's a good time. So I like that.
Excellent.
Now, I will say, lunch, I did book the Be Our Guest lunch.
Okay, the quick service lunch.
Yeah, I figured why not try it, right. You know? We've never done it. I thought
You've
it
never
would
done
be...
the quick service? You've only done the sit-down?
No, we always do dinner. So I figured I would give it a shot, and we'd give it a go for lunch. So I'm curious to see how that goes.
Interesting, okay.
I do like how, like, when you go on your My Disney Experience, it's like, oh, you can book this meal, like, your actual meals, January 1st. So I'm like, really? I mean, I can imagine doing it ahead of time. I don't know if I can imagine doing it, like, a month ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know, and getting everyone's meals. It might be, you know, too
much.
Well,
I mean, like you know, it's like the Arthur Spooner question from King of Queens. It's just like, how can you tell what you want to eat, what you're going to be in the mood for a month ahead of time?
Right. Right.
One of the greatest King of Queens episodes of all time.
Although I do think I know what I want, but that's neither here nor there.
What is it that you want?
I think they have like a roast beef sandwich.
I think they do. I think you're right about that.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It does sound good.
So dinner that night, I am going to go with the Ohana dinner that I was referencing.
Okay.
Some 5:15 action. I was happy to get that time. When I actually first booked this, they gave me 7 o'clock.
So you're doing two ADRs in one day. You're doing Crystal Palace breakfast followed by Ohana dinner.
Yep.
Okay.
When I first booked this, they gave me a 7 o'clock only. And later in the day, I rechecked for something more around 5, and they had a 5:15. So I grabbed
Perfect.
It. So, and that's good because that kind of gives us the option to, you know, it's early enough that if we're still kind of want to do stuff, we can go back to Magic Kingdom.
Right.
And if we're all pooped, we could, you know, take the monorail to Epcot and kind of just, you know, meander our way to our room. So I kind of figure that leaves that night open a little bit.
You mean you can mono over to Cot?
Yep.
I'm trying to create new Disney slang. So I've turned the monorail into a verb. I'm like, I'm going to mono over to, you know, over to MK. Or mono,
how's that work?
Monoing over to Cot. People are resistant, Peter Mandel. Not going to lie.
I can imagine.
I have not met with much success.
You just keep plugging away, Kevin. And it'll get there.
Oh, I'm going to beat this dead horse. Don't worry. All right, so you're monoing over to Cot.
Yeah, or MK. We'll see. You okay. know. So that
people are like, how lazy are you? It's an E and a P. Why can't you just say Epcot?
Oh,
whole
man.
Syllable. Okay, so this is day 3 we're on now, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what do we got?
So day 3 is going to be your favorite park.
Animal Kingdom?
Yes.
Okay.
So we're going to go to Animal Kingdom. Now, here's what got a little crazy. We had debated doing 3 breakfasts. But, like, you know, when you start adding all these ADR breakfasts, like, you're really talking about then paying for meals.
Right.
Like figuring
right.
out which meals you're going to pay for and blah, blah, blah.
And also,
blah.
At the end of the day, Disney breakfasts are all kind of standard.
Yeah, but, man, they're so good.
Crystal Palace breakfast is one thing because you have the puffed French toast, you have the breakfast right. lasagna. Right. But every other breakfast is just kind of like eggs and biscuits and bacon. And you know.
Well, so you think. But I couldn't resist booking an 8 o'clock Tusker House Donald Safari breakfast. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. We might not keep this. I'm still debating it. I like this breakfast, and I haven't done it in a couple trips. So
okay.
Right now, it's on the board. So take that for what you will.
Tusker House. Okay.
Come on. You don't want to see, you know, Daisy Duck in safari gear?
No, I mean, awesome. I totally want to see that. I think that's awesome.
And it's the food's really good. It's not bad.
Okay. I'm 100% so, down
buffet
with it.
Style, mm-hmm. you know. So we're going to hang at AK that day. I imagine it's going to be a long day because, well, last time I went, we only did Animal Kingdom once, and I kind of had said I wanted to do it more than once the next time. This is going to be our only Animal Kingdom trip
okay.
that day.
All right.
So I booked
the
later.
Okay, so this is the only time you're going to DAC at all. So you're doing Flame Tree for lunch then.
Oh, I'm sure we're doing Flame Tree. And then dinner, I made a reservation over at Chefs de France in the Epcot Center.
Over in Cot.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No mono that day.
You're not monoing over?
Heather picked out the Chefs de France. I told her it was okay, so you know.
Chefs de France, is that the one that's on the dining plan, or is that is, yes. right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not. The other one's what?
Like Bistro de Paris is the one that's not on the dining plan. And so then when you get out of there, are you going to hop over to Artisan des Glaciers for a croque de glacier?
I'm pretty excited about it. I will say that picture you sent me does not look appetizing in any way.
Really?
Well, you know why? I didn't know what it was.
Right. So you knew it was a pastry with cream in the middle of it.
Right. What's on the inside of that bun? Because it looks weird.
It's ice cream.
But now that you describe it, I'm excited about it.
No, it is fairly awesome.
I can't imagine not trying one the first day, because what if I really like it?
True. Then you'll want to revisit it throughout the trip.
Right. We went when we stayed at Riverside, they made this awesome mahi-mahi sandwich.
Ooh.
At the food court. Kevin, I mean, this thing was so good. It was huge. And I'm so thankful. I actually discovered it like one of the first 2 days I was there. When I say I got like five of these things, I'm not lying. I pretty much got one every night. I'm like, I'm just going to get this and bring it back to the room. It was so good. I was so thankful. I got one as we were getting on the Magical Express bus to leave, because I'm like, I'm gonna eat this.
One for the road.
It was delicious. So, you know, I'm definitely going to want to check that out ahead of time.
I may join you for a croque de glacier while you're here. Because, you know, I look for any excuse.
To eat one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so what was that, day four?
That is day three.
That's day three. Oh, wow. So there's a lot in day three.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, we're going to do AK, we're going to do some Epcot, and that's kind of, you know, how it's going to work. Now, day four is where it's going to get a little funky.
Okay, so I'm assuming this is a studio's day.
No. It is not a studio's day. Well, that's not true. It is a studio's day.
Okay.
We are now going to walk from the beach club over to the Swan and Dolphin.
The heck you now, say?
Now, by walk, I assume it's going to be me and my brother, where we are going to be renting a vehicle.
What?
That seats six people. And then driving over back to the beach club, where we're going to pick up the rest of my family, and we're going to go to Universal Studios.
Uh-huh.
What do you think about that plan?
I think that's a great plan, to be perfectly honest.
You know, I crunched the numbers on the
travel. I was going to say, I could just pick you up, but then I realized you have six people.
Right. The travel's a little bit of a pain in the butt, and I've kind of researched it a little bit, and like I found, like, you know, to take this like shuttle, it's like $10 a person each way.
Yeah.
So really, when you crunch the numbers, it's the same as renting a car for 2 days.
You might as well just be able to go wherever you want to go.
Yeah, I would rather have the luxury of leaving and going as I wish. And there's an Alamo right in Swan and Dolphin.
You park, and then you could park in that legendary parking garage that you love so much.
I do really like that garage. That was actually part of it. So that is going to be either studios or islands. I haven't decided
yet. And you're clearly so you're not going to do both in one day?
No, there's going to be a second Universal day.
Okay. See, that stinks, because then you're not going to get the opportunity to ride the Hogwarts Express from one park to the other.
Oh, no, I am.
So, wait, you're going to pay for both parks just to do that?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Okay. Because that is a pretty amazing experience.
Everyone says that, so I'm pretty sure I have to do that.
There's no way you can't do it, like, especially with your son being as into Harry Potter as he is right now.
Right.
Like, there's no way you can't do that.
Listen, a lot of people have told me to do one day, but here's the problem.
You can do it in one day.
You can, but can you?
You can.
Everything?
Let me ask you, are you going to pay for Express Pass?
No.
Okay. Still, you can. Because I did it.
Remember something. This is going to be February. The park is probably going to close at 6 p.m. When we went last time in 2011, Universal Studios opened at 9. We went in the park, and things that I guess are kind of not important rides to everyone else, like E.T. and stuff like that, didn't even open till 11, which is great, but I have a little daughter who is dying to go on that.
Right.
So, you know, for me, to be able to do both sides of Potter, to do Marvel's Superhero Island, Jurassic Park, and then I still got to bang out Men in Black. I got to do Transformers. I mean, there's so much to do.
Right.
I don't want to hang my hat on, I can definitely do this in one day and make it back to Epcot for dinner. So because if it was open till midnight, I'd go. And I'd do it in one day.
Yeah.
But it's not.
I mean, are you sure that it's not going to be open till at least 9? If it's open till 9, you're fine.
I'm judging by the past couple years' February hours.
Okay.
And there's never even anything in the ballpark of 9 o'clock.
Okay.
It is 6 or 7 every day.
Interesting. Like I've never encountered that.
when we went in 2011, Universal Studios closed at 5 that day. Now, granted, that was before Potter was in that park.
Right.
But they closed at 5. And everything else didn't really open until 11.
So have you gone so far as to plan out where you want to eat for a Universal day?
No, because, well, yes, at night, yes, but not during, while we're actually there. I'm going to try and follow your guide as more where not to
eat. Where not, so don't go to Krusty Burger.
Right. You know, honestly, in Islands of Adventure, I like, there's a little Marvel Superheroes, like, burger joint that I like.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure I can find something in Universal.
The Jurassic Park food court's no joke either. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I've eaten there also.
But now, I would recommend getting either the Donut Sundae or getting the giant pink donut and having your whole family just share it.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
That's like, but the beautiful thing about the giant pink donut is it comes in a box, like a sealed box. So you can literally pick it up on your way out of the park and then pick at it for the rest of like the next couple days.
Yeah, that's not an awful idea. I might do that.
That's what I did. I got it on my way out. I didn't touch it until the next morning.
That first night, when we get back to the beach club, we are then going to walk over to Epcot and do some Rosencrown.
This is the next day after the...
This is the first Universal day.
Oh, okay. So after Universal, you're coming back and going to Rosencrown.
Yeah, we're going to do Rosencrown. It's going to be a little bit of a late dinner, 7:30. You know, I imagine the kids, like, what kind of snack and stuff, like, late so that they're not, like, super-duper-duper starving by the time we get there. So late dinner, felt like that was probably the wise choice.
Yeah.
You know, even if I get fish and chips.
Okay. Are you going to get fish and chips?
I might.
You know, the one thing I will say about these fish and chips, and you know how I romanticize them, they are very greasy, like more greasy than most fish and chips.
Okay.
I will say. Though this time, I got both the tartar sauce and the malt vinegar, and it was an amazing experience.
I like the malt vinegar.
Yeah.
So the next day, obviously, with renting the car and everything, will be our second Universal day.
Okay.
So we'll kind of try and get done whatever we didn't get done the first time.
All right. So this is probably the day where you're buying. So typically what you're probably doing is you're going to do Universal the first day. And then the second day, you're going to get the 2-park ticket just to go into Harry Potter and take the Hogwarts Express.
Right.
Okay. Now, not getting the Express Pass, you're okay with possibly waiting an hour for Transformers.
Is it really that long?
In January, probably not. But, like, the other day, Transformers was an hour. I always go on the single rider lines because I'm by myself. Right. But, yeah, like... To the point where, like Harry Potter, Transformers, Simpsons, they all were 40 plus.
Well, that's the thing. I'm banking on it being, you know, the first days of February.
Right.
And being there early, you know. And that's why I also scheduled these 2 days for midweek. It's a Tuesday and a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do Universal on a Saturday or even a Monday.
And you know what? The Express Pass, while I think it is, like, it makes your experience better, it's not worth paying a minimum of $40 ahead.
Yep. Yeah, and I have 6 people, so
yeah.
You know, as is, this Universal is adding like some serious cost to my trip.
Universal is not cheap.
No, and renting a car and the whole thing's mm-hmm. crazy. But I figure I really only go once every 5 years,
right? And if your son is as into Harry Potter you need to make sure he gets through all 7 books by the time you get there, though. Otherwise,
he'll never do that.
Confused.
I can't imagine he's going to do that. But he has a loose idea. Just now, he's kind of like plowing through the books, so.
Is he on book 2 now?
Yes.
I would say by February you can get through all 7.
It's possible.
Actually, I would say more probable than even possible.
You'll see him like cramming the book like while we're in the plane and stuff. Mm. Okay, so that night, now this is where it got weird. Originally, remember I told you we wanted to eat someplace downtown?
Right.
And like, so it's 6:00 in the morning. By this point, it's probably 6:15. I'm on my laptop. I'm like still in bed. And I'm like, I have not nailed this one down.
Okay.
So I'm like, I'm going to make a reservation for someplace downtown because we want to go downtown one night. I pull up all the downtown restaurants. Yeah, no. There's no place I really want to make a reservation.
Right.
So I'm like,
not even the boathouse? You don't want to try the boathouse?
The boathouse looks so expensive.
But dining plan.
Yeah, but 2 meal credits?
Oh, is it 2 meal credits?
Isn't it 2 meal credits?
I don't know.
I thought it was. I remember we discussed how some of the meals that are for 2 are 4 meal credits. Remember?
Yes.
I didn't realize
that was the boathouse.
So I haven't really, you know. But okay, so now I need to make
not the Rainforest Cafe.
No. No.
Although I know that is your most hated restaurant property.
No, I like Rainforest.
No, but you like it in the Menlo Park Mall in New Jersey.
Yeah, I like it here. I don't feel the need to go there when I'm in Disney World. Right. Although I have been to the one in Animal Kingdom multiple times. So I need to book something. So I'm like just scrolling through. You know how you can pull it up so that it basically shows you like every restaurant with like reservation times available?
Yep.
So I'm like pulling it up and I'm wrong through it. So I went with Le Cellier. Now, again.
Wise choice.
There's a chance it could get canceled.
Yeah.
But I figured we could pay out of pocket. But here's the real reason why I did it. I'm going to go there and get a steak. George is going to go there and get a steak. We all like steaks. My wife doesn't eat steak. My wife barely likes anything like that.
Right.
And they never have anything on the menu for her. Do you know what I found on that menu?
What?
They must have just added it. They have like a swanky gourmet style chicken and waffles.
What?
Yes.
They have poutine on the menu there too.
Chicken and waffles.
Wow, that's pretty clutch.
Yeah, so I'm all about it with some kind of maple glaze something or other. So I'm like, huh, Heather will try that, which means I get to eat it also.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that chicken and waffles will be better than the chicken and waffles I had at Cletus's Chicken Shack in Universal Studios.
I'm hoping it is, if not for the price alone.
Yeah, I would assume. I would assume you're getting like freshly made waffles, not like the sitting out for 12 hours waffles that I had broke my teeth on.
I'll be really upset if it is those.
Yeah.
So that is, again, now listen, something like that may be up in the air. I don't think so, though. I don't typically cancel ADRs, but,
right.
You know, it kind of did make it spur of the moment for that one. So
okay.
That is going to be my day that day. Again, you know, note there's not a lot of late night stuff going on here.
Yeah, I've noticed.
But we're getting up early almost every day. Right. I don't really leave things going on at night because, you know, if it is somewhat pool weather-ish, I imagine I'll be taking the kids in the pool after dinner.
Okay.
Or, you know, there's a good chance, like, a lot of nights I'm going to head downtown with my brother. And, you know, so there's going to be some stuff going on, but not really stuff you plan out, per se.
Right.
So that's
You can head downtown with your brother and your friend Kevin.
Oh, that's true.
Who is a downtown Disney connoisseur now.
Hmm. Or we could say, oh, we're going here, but then go somewhere else.
Yeah. You'd be all
safe.
That'd be pretty, that's pretty much par for the course.
All right, so the next day, we're doing the now, I don't want to say staple, but I feel like it could be, Ohana breakfast.
Okay. Yeah, I would say staple.
Well, it's weird. I actually prefer the breakfasts that are buffet style, and Ohana is not.
But isn't it family style? Like, isn't it still all you can eat?
Yeah, and I don't really love family style, but, you know, the food is super good. You can't knock it. I like seeing Stitch and Lilo. So, I mean, we're all over it. So we're going to do the Ohana breakfast. I made it for 9 o'clock because Epcot actually has early magic hours that morning.
Okay.
So I figured, so Epcot's going to open technically at 8. So I figured we could stroll through Epcot, which is cool because when you go through the World Showcase portion, it'll still be super empty.
Right.
And then we can just jump the monorail over to the Poly.
Right. You can mono over to Poly.
Right. Or the Pol, whatever you call it. I don't know.
I like Poly.
So we are going to head
Paulville.
To...
Paulville.
Hey, there you go. And then we are going to head to Magic Kingdom.
Perfect.
Get another Magic Kingdom day under our belt.
Mm-hmm.
That
a little
day,
sunny eclipse action that day, maybe?
Exactly. It'll be sunny eclipse for lunch. I hope he's still on tour by then.
Yeah, you know what? He's been playing all his golden oldies lately. So
I know I've been looking at the set lists online.
I've been worried that, you know, it was going to be a lot of his newer stuff, but like he's gone back to the classics.
Yeah, see, that's the way he should be. And then that night we're going to do Be Our Guest for dinner, doing it proper.
Okay, so you're doing Be Our Guest twice. You're doing quick service and
yeah. I'm going to try it, and then I mean I got to be honest with you. There's not a ton of restaurants I really want to go to in Magic Kingdom. I still feel like they could add
two
really solid restaurants, and like, you know, I just don't feel like there's a lot from
a sit down perspective. What do you have? You have Liberty Tree,
which I like, but I don't care about.
Right, you have Tony's, and you have Be Our Guest, pretty much.
Right, and I mean Cinderella's Castle, the Royal Table,
But you know, quick service wise, that Columbia Harbor House is no joke.
Yeah, I know. It just doesn't fit into my schedule this time.
Oh, man, I could not say enough nice things about that Columbia
Harbor. I know. We liked the way that last time. I could either do that and get rid of Be Our Guest for lunch, although I kind of wanted to try it for lunch. You want to try that.
You definitely want to try VR guests. That's a new experience for you. So
yeah, yeah.
That Friar's Nook, though, too. I mean, like, you know, I mentioned it earlier in the show. That's got some good stuff in it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know,
nothing for you, but like,
I could always, you know, pop over and
bacon cheeseburger mac and cheese or pot roast mac and cheese with a side of hot dog is like
two things I would never eat.
Yeah. Okay. So, do we have any more, or was that the last?
Yeah, day? I have one more full day, okay, which is obviously going to be Hollywood Studios, which I have not attended, which is weird. It's weird to go to not do an entire park until pretty much you're leaving.
Yeah, that is really weird.
I know. I didn't have any other way to schedule. It's weird when you're renting the car. I had to do Universal Studios back to back days.
So I'm assuming this is Play and Dine at Hollywood and Vine.
No, I'm not doing that. I mean, I got three breakfasts under my belt as is. We're going to skip that, and I think we're doing sci-fi for dinner.
Okay.
Which is weird because this will now be my like last dinner like of the trip, which is typically something like awesome, and it's going to be like sci-fi.
Right. You know, sci-fi does not have the picnic burger anymore.
Oh, really? Well, yeah, there's no point in it.
The hot dog on the cheeseburger? No.
It's
like,
so hard to eat.
Oh, no, I wanted it. Actually, the first time I went to Studios down here, I went up and I was like, I'm looking at the menu outside because I'm like, I'm going to go into sci-fi today and sit down and have food. And then I was like, excuse me, miss, where's the picnic burger? They're like, oh, we don't have it anymore. And like my heart broke.
Oh, it was all right.
They told me that I should write to management and complain about it. But I didn't
or be like, hey, can I get just a dog on the side? No bun.
Side of hot dog.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. There you go.
So the problem with doing studios one day is, of course, you're going to fast pass Toy Story Midway Mania.
Of course.
But my son, my wife, and my brother are all going to want to ride Rock and Roller Coaster.
Ah, yeah, that is a problem.
So, again, I think we'll go there right away and kind of just try and go Rock and Roller Coaster like right at get-go.
Okay.
Even if they have to wait. You know, the line won't be too crazy right then.
True.
And then, you know, we'll do the rest. So, you know, that's my day. My last day, my travel day, will be Epcot. Now, I don't think we're going to fly home until late, so I imagine we'll be in Epcot probably until about 3 o'clock. Okay. And the way that I've mapped this out with paying for some meals, that we should still have two counter services per person heading into that last day.
Ooh,
partially
that's
because
a good
we have
spot to be in.
It is. Now, granted, it's because we're going to have to go to Universal and kind of have like makeshift meals while we're there, but I figure we can get up early and go over to Seasons.
Yep.
And get breakfast.
Totally.
And then, you know, go into World Showcase and probably grab, I would imagine,
nachos.
Yeah, I imagine it'd be in Mexico. Can't say for certain because I'll leave it open to everybody, but
nachos, chips, and guac.
Yeah.
Very nice.
You see what I'm saying? Like, so that's my trip. And it's nothing like, oh my God, Kevin, you got to hear what I'm doing. It's kind of the same stuff I always do, but I feel it's a little bit of a greatest hits, and I feel, you know, that it should be solid.
It's like Sunny Eclipse. Every once in a while, you got to play the golden oldies.
Right.
You know, your new stuff might be great, but those, you know, they want to hear Freebird.
I couldn't think of something to add that would really make it, to give it the wow factor.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know? I mean, if you think of anything, let me know.
Well, I mean, there's the Cape May Cafe, but you guys don't like seafood, so.
I don't know. We like seafood. I just don't like the Cape May Cafe.
All right. I'm just saying. It's amazing, and I love it.
I know. You do. I'm not a huge fan of that.
Okay. Fine. Don't say I didn't warn you. okay. So is that about everything?
No, that's about it.
All right. Cool. It sounds like a really good, packed-in trip.
Yeah, I mean, you know, let's see what happens with, you know, Universal and the rental car. I did call because their hours are actually 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock, and there's no way I'd be back by 4. Yeah. But they said that they have late drop-off. You can just literally park it there.
I mean, I would say the rental car is a must.
It just makes the most sense.
Yeah.
I mean, if the tram, if the little, you know, bus thing that takes you is $10 per person each way.
Yep.
You're talking, that's $240, which honestly is more than it costs to rent the car.
Exactly.
So, you know,
exactly.
I figure convenience wise, I can go over with my brother and pick it up. It'll all work out.
Totally. 100%. So. All right. About ready?
I am ready.
That's going to do it for 2 Men and the Mouse this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. And please, as always, give our social media pages some love. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/2menandthemouse and on Twitter at 2menandthemouse. You can also find the White Dragon Podcast Network on Facebook at facebook.com/WDPodcastNetwork and on Twitter at White Dragon PN. You can also find us on Instagram as White Dragon Podcast Network. And always remember, you can join in the Disney conversation with us and all of our wonderful friends from all around the world in our Disney discussion group, facebook.com/groups/2menandthemouse. Please tweet us or tag us in any photos of you in the parks throughout the years. We'd love to stack our pages with photos of you guys enjoying that, which we all love. Disney parks. If you want your questions answered on the air, please send a email to questions@2menandthemouse.com. Folks, if you like the show, please do us the honor of sharing it, tweet it out, talk it up, give it a rating and review in iTunes. Every little bit helps us out tremendously. It's only through your kind words and praise that this show will continue to grow and prosper. Folks, if you love our good friend Peter Mandel and his great comic book store, Rogue Comics, check him out at 105 North Union Avenue in Cranford, New Jersey, 07016. Or you can check him out online at roguecomics.com, where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store. And if you are planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, any Disney park throughout the known world, or Aulani out in Hawaii, please check out our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel. Dave will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. You can always find Dave on Facebook as Magical Travel Dave, or email him dave@magicaltravel.com. And folks, if you would like to apply the wisdom of Walt to your daily life, please check out our good friend and sponsor, Jeff Barnes. And his new book, The Wisdom of Walt, Leadership Lessons from the Happiest Place on Earth. To pick up your copy, you can go to thewisdomofwalt.com, or you can check out the Amazon Kindle store for the ebook copy. Also, please, folks, check out the other great programming here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. We have a slew of Disney shows now. We have one for every day of the week. We've got Mouselanius on Mondays, 2 Men and the Mouse on Tuesdays, Storybook Radio on Thursdays, the Extra Magic Hour debuting on this Thursday, which I'm actually going to be a guest on, Peter Mandel.
Oh, what's that about?
It's about Walt Disney World.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, right. Also, then debuting this Friday as well is going to be The Mouse in Our House, which is going to be a bi-weekly show every other Friday. So, folks, thank you so much for joining us again this and every week. Pete, any closing words?
No, you know, if anyone has any tweaks or ideas for my trip, I'd be happy to hear them.
Yeah, and I'll pass those along to him, folks, if you post them in the group, or email him, pete@2menandthemouse.com, and hopefully he'll check it. please, folks, keep the magic alive every day of your lives, and we will see you next week on 2 Men and the Mouse.
So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.
This has been a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network. For information on this, as well as our other great podcasts, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, email us at WDPodcastNetwork@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at White Dragon PN.